And Farrell will come and share the scripture with us, and then Bill Reynolds will come and preach.
This morning's reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 23 through 29. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe."
So it was easy to offer this because this is such a generous pulpit. And the pulpit is really an exchange. It's the person here and it's you all. And I know about the generosity of this pulpit because I live with your preacher. And she tells me how generous, what a generous place this is to be with you. So it was easy to set to offer. It was harder for her to say yes. But thank you, Debbie, for the opportunity. On this sixth Sunday of Easter, so happy Easter. We're still celebrating these 40-plus days, really the culmination of the whole church year. Still Easter, still the here and now mystery of Christ dying, rising, and living here and now for us and also in us. And this reading takes us back to Jesus' last meal, his last words. To that Passover meal, which was that great celebration of liberation, of freedom, after generations in slavery. It was the happiest, most joyful celebration of the year. But it was to be his last meal. These from his last words. And he was still teaching, still guiding, still comforting, still reminding the disciples like us. We're still struggling. It was still hard to understand. They were still learning. Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, she will obey my teaching." Our English word obey, this is not a popular word at all, comes from a Latin word that really means to hear. To listen. And it can be a lot easier to love Jesus than his teachings, particularly the ones that are hard, particularly the ones that cost me my life, that challenge my ego. Take up your cross, follow me. The ones who lose their lives will save it. Love your enemies. You taught us how to pray. We just prayed it. Forgive us as we forgive those others that we all know about. I was with a patient once, very angry at her son, and she was dying. And I asked her, I developed a relationship with her, and I asked her at one point, I took a risk. I said, "Are you okay to die without forgiving your son?" She goes, "Yes, I am. I'm okay with that." And she disclosed later that she said, "I know this is terrible to say, but I hate my son for what he's done to me." Now, she was very hard of hearing. And when we prayed, we had this she had to read my lips. So I'm screaming, she's reading my lips, and I decided to pray the Lord's Prayer. We get to forgive us our trespasses, and she goes, no, 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 no. Because she was not going to pray as we forgive those who trespass against us. She thought it was a trick. It was all I could do not to laugh like you're doing, Mark. But at least she was honest, and she says, I don't pray to Jesus anymore. She goes, I go straight to the Father. When she was mad at her son, she was mad at Jesus. I know the Father name is hard for some of you. It used to be for me. Not so much anymore. But I get it. I get it, the struggle with Father sometimes. So here's the deal. Jesus came to bring us into the same intimate, loving relationship of oneness that he knew with God. And he always sees and says that God, he called Father, the loving source who's integral to all that is greater than I am. Jesus is always humble, talking about God. I do what the Father, I do what God tells me. I'm not over mine either. In John's gospel, Jesus gets in real trouble for using this language for God. First time is right off the bat in chapter 2. He goes into the temple. He sees the money changers making money off poor people. And he starts turning the tables upside down and says, get these out of here. How dare you turn my Father's house into a market? And later in chapter 8, he's also teaching in the temple. He says, before Abraham was born, I am. He used the great I am about himself. It says they picked up stones to kill him right then and there. And he hid himself and slipped away. And one more time, chapter 10, he says, I and my Father are one. And they wanted to kill him on the spot. Richard Rohr says, when Jesus called himself the Son of the Father and yet one with the Father, he is giving clear primacy to relationship. Who we are is who we are in God. Or as Jesus would say, the Father. Who we are is who we are in God. That's our identity. That's our true self. Bishop Irenaeus in the second century said, God became what we are, that God might bring us to be even what God is. There's a man in his 90s, he lived a long time. He was very self-reflective in his last weeks and months. One day we were talking and he said, I used to think of God being out there, gestured away from his body toward the window. I now know that I am a part of God. And that's what Jesus came to teach and bring us into. So Jesus begins these last words. Beautiful image. My Father, God, will love them and we will make our home with them. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a hospice chaplain. And home is a word we hear a lot in hospice. What's most important to you right now? I want to go home. I want to be with my family. I want to die in my own bed. The woman who I met, and I wasn't sure she was going to hire me. She said, I have different beliefs about things. I said, that's great. I said, I'd like to sit down with you sometime. So she did let me come. And I asked a question I don't always ask, but I probably should ask it more. If you could describe God in one word, just a word, what would you say? And she stopped, she paused. And she said one word. She said, home. And she had a tear in her eye. and I did too. God, making God's home with us. Choir sang it, God, our dwelling place. It's a beautiful image, the incarnation, the indwelling, homemaking. Right here is the essence of God. God comes to us. God is our dwelling place, our home. Just before Christmas, I was driving up places in Chemung County I'd never been before, up and down, into a single wide trailer. They were poor. Single wise poor. And he could not speak at that time. He was really close. He died actually the next day. His daughter told me a very powerful story. She said, yesterday, my dad, he got up at one point, using his walker. It's a young guy. He said he put his hands on my shoulder, and he looked me right in the eye. And he said, I'm going home. And then Jesus said, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have taught you. Other translations say, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper. He's reminding his disciples that this path he is teaching requires continuous learning, openness, guidance. Buddhists call it beginner's mind. It's that childlike quality, unless you become like a child, Jesus says. And we can't do this alone. Our self-sufficiency, our belief that we can make and create our lives the way we please, it has to break down. Hopefully, before we have a terminal illness. It's harder if it hasn't broken down before the terminal illness. And we are not alone. God's Spirit's always there to guide, lead, remind, and comfort us. A woman dying of a brain tumor recently told me, God's got my back. That's the Spirit. And then Jesus tells them what he is leaving for them. Peace. Peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. Not the peace of the world. So the peace of the world is just situational. It's based on our circumstances. It kind of comes and goes. It's better at times, worse at others, right? But it's not steady. He's talking about a different peace. Peace of God. I was talking to a man one time. He told me about a near-death experience he had 20 years previously. And it was during open-heart surgery. And he said, I was just taken into this different place. And he had a hard time describing it. He said, it was indescribable peace. I could hear without listening. I could speak without talking. Never heard anybody describe it that way. I could hear without listening. Speak without talking. This experience never left him. And he kept drawing on, like many people who are dying, he wanted more time. But he was not afraid. So Jesus says right there, don't let your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. Now, I'm sure those disciples were anxious. We get anxious. That's common, normal for most of us. I have a patient who has struggled with anxiety most of her life. Her favorite scripture, Psalm 34, 4. I sought the Lord, and he delivered me from all my fears. Now, I often will ask patients, is there anything you're worried about? She said, I have anxiety, but I never worry. The anxiety, that can be part of our story, but that's not how she defines herself. She has anxiety, but she still feels peace. Anxiety is not who she is. It's not her essence. her life in God. And God, and with God, is her essence. Because God's made a home with her. I asked another what patient one time, "Are you worried about anything?" She said, "I'm never afraid." And then she told me this story. She also had a near-death experience. She saw her mother. And she told me that she grew up in the Great Depression, and she and her and two of her younger siblings were placed by her parents in an orphanage. It's definitely very common, large family, and we can't feed all our kids. So the three youngest were put in an orphanage. So she said, "I grew up for many years and didn't have my mother around me." And then her mother had died when she was relatively young. But she herself had this experience in surgery, and she said she was in another place, and she saw her mother. And her mother was on a park bench. She sat next to her mother. And she said, "I want to stay here with you." Her mom says, "You can't. It's not your time yet." She said, "I didn't want to leave. I wanted to stay." And she said, "I've never been afraid again." And she wasn't. She was amazing. Last words. Jesus said to them several times, "I'm going away, and I'm coming to you." It's both. "I'm going away, and I am coming to you." He was saying goodbye. I'll tell you one more story. There was an African-American woman who told me and her pastor the same thing, and I was invited to speak at her homegoing service, and he and I shared the same words from her. It was her witness. 3 days before she died, she said, "I've given all my love out. I've forgiven everyone. I've forgiven myself. That was the work of Christ in her. His death, his forgiveness, his love, his grace was happening right there in the work of her dying. She had a lot to forgive, and she shared a lot of it with me. Not all of it. She had some deep pain, deep wounds. Jesus on the cross says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." She had come to this place where she was so open-hearted, so forgiving, and said, "I've forgiven myself." That one is often the hardest for many people I talk with. I talk to so many people, that's the last thing. Their own regrets, made so many mistakes, not sure God can forgive me. People who have accepted Jesus, they're all in. But if really grace can't apply to me, it's very common. We share. This is the mystery. We share in Christ dying and living by forgiving everyone, forgiving ourselves, seeing everyone, seeing ourselves through the eyes, the heart of Jesus. "I've given all my love out. I've forgiven everyone. I've forgiven myself." For this dying woman, she was already being wrapped and clothed with eternity right there. We all felt it in the room. The life, the love of Jesus was so present in her. And she could no longer speak, the smile on her face. Heaven and earth were really touching right there. I knew that I was in the presence of God and that we were not alone. Paul wrote, we are given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus might be made visible in our mortal flesh. His resurrection, His life, visible, present in us. I saw Jesus in her, our light, our peace. I bowed to her. Jesus goes on in this next chapter, which we didn't read today. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And then Jesus prays a beautiful prayer, first for his followers who were there, and then for those of us who weren't there, but would come after. Here's what Jesus prays. That they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I in you, may they also be in us. I in them, you in me, that they may be completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me, and love them, even as you have loved me. The same love, the same intimacy, the same tenderness. Jesus brings us in. So close your eyes for a moment. Just bring your awareness to your heart. And hear these words of Jesus. As you, God, are in me, and I in you, may they also be in us. I in them, you in me, that they may be completely one. I and them, and you and me, completely one. I and them, and you and me, completely one. I and them, you and me, one. I and them, you and me, one. I, them, you, one. I, them, you, one. One.